In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Well, yes, it is time to talk movies and more as we're joined in studio by Alan Adams. Hello there, Al.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How's your day?
Good. You know, all things considered.
Yeah, back to work.
Yeah, after maybe the longest actual vacation I've had since I started, like, being a working adult.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, we did, it was 11 days all told.
Nice.
And, I was a little concerned about how my my return to the office was going to go.
Right.
But it was good. It actually wound up being a productive day, and I had enough to do where I was able to get back into the swing of things, but not so much to do that I felt, overwhelmed or freaked out or anything. So, yeah, no, all things considered, could have been a lot worse.
Good. I'm glad to hear. And vacation went well.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't really do much. Sheridan made the comparison. I thought it was a pretty apt one. It was like we were on a cruise, except we didn't leave our house. So it was basically like we would do like these daily excursions, but then we would return sip cocktails on the Lido deck and generally enjoy a quiet evenings at home. But yeah, you know, we did day trips. Like we went and hit Bissell Brothers Three Rivers because we wanted to make sure we got in there at least one more time before they closed down. We went down to Marshall Wharf in Belfast. You'll notice a theme. If you're a brewery that is dog friendly, we are going to come see you.
Oh, there you go.
Like, that is our thing, because our girl Stella, she's not a drinker, but she loves a brewery.
Yes. Well, who doesn't? What dog doesn't care for a brewery?
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Especially if her people are there.
Indeed.
We had an awfully fun time on Saturday night. What a cool event to be part of with the newly revived and renamed Orono Arts Fest.
Right, that was super fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I thought MJ Sedlock, who ran the show, did a great job. It seems like it was very well received again. Like, you know, there are always going to be some bumps and growing pains when you're sort of making these sorts of changes, and from what once was Artspalooza, they've definitely changed their sort of attitude with regard to more focused programming and just making sure that if you want to see it all, you can. One of the issues with Artspalooza was sort of an embarrassment of riches, almost. Like, there was just so much going on in so many different places that it was difficult to sort of to have any sort of like focus as an audience member. And I think they've streamlined it a good deal. And man, I tell you what, that Orono Performing Arts Center, what a beautiful space that was.
That was nice.
It was really nice to be welcomed into a space like that. And the turnout was a lovely surprise. It was a decent crowd there, and it was nice to do something like that and to feel, I don't know if appreciated is the right word, but I mean the reality is, like, we had a really good set, and that certainly helps. And we had a really good, between our performance and the quality of the audience, like, it was a really great night.
That sure was. Well, I got a message, by the way, from our friend Joe Mason. He said that, cause he was at Black Bear Brewing when we stopped in after the show. He said, I meant to tell you, I inside joke here, but he said, I paid my tab with Upstate money now to just get my hands on some of that Upstate ice cream.
Indeed. Indeed. Let's be real. Like, Reese Witherspoon never looked so good.
She came up in our improv show, and then, boy, as fate would have it, what shows up on cable last night but
Sweet Home Alabama. Yeah. I was just like, sometimes the universe tells you what it wants.
Yep. There you go. That was a lot of fun. And we've got another show coming up a week from Friday.
Yep. We'll be back at the Bangor Arts Exchange. I don't know if y'all have heard, but, Bay is not going to be with us much longer. And this will be one of just a few more opportunities to see us grace that lovely, lovely stage. July 26th, 8 p.m., Bangor Arts Exchange. Please come on by. Like, it's... I don't know. Maybe just better late than never, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just whatever's happening there, just go. Like, that's all I'm saying.
Well, but a good chance to show your support for the arts because, they're not closing because they weren't successful.
Right.
They weren't closing because they weren't doing things well. It was, ownership of the building and, hey, landlords get to do whatever they want.
Right.
And that's understandable. But I think it would send a good message, not just for our show, but anything going on there. It would send a message to those people in the arts community that want to be the next place, that there is support for it out there.
Exactly. Well, and it's like, we sort of bemoan the loss because, to have the announcement of Bay going away followed so quickly by Queen City Cinema Club closing their doors, like, it needs to be stressed. If you're out there, if you're one of those people who are thinking about doing something like this and you're like, oh, but these places couldn't make it happen.
No,
they absolutely could. Like, yeah.
And did.
Yes. It's not about the financials were not the problem.
Right.
We'll put it that way. You know what I mean? The programming was not the problem. Mm. But at a certain point, like, people have to be able to look after their own. their own best interests. Yeah. Like, that's just the reality of it. But July 26th, we've got shows up through October. It's starting to look like we may actually be the very last performance in that space in its current form. There'll be plenty of opportunities and some fun stuff happening along the way.
We'll keep you posted about it. We're talking with Alan Adams, of course, here on Downtown. We're going to the movies, talking about space movies.
Yeah, it's funny how it works out sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, because one of the big theatrical releases this past weekend was Fly Me to the Moon, which is a period sort of rom-com starring Channing Tatum and Scarlett Johansson at the dawn of the space race. Sheridan and I went and saw that as part of one of our vacation excursions. I was trying to decide what I was going to do for another movie. And I remembered, now this movie came out not this past weekend, but the weekend before, but still relatively new on Amazon Prime, called Space Cadet, which I've found easiest to describe as, Legally Blonde Goes to Space. that's basically it. So I was like, you know what? Let's check that out and we'll make a fun double feature to talk to Rich about.
Yeah.
Especially since I know you're such a space nerd.
It's true.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Which one would you like to talk about first?
Let's hear about Space Cadet because I've heard nothing about it until you mentioned it.
So it's... this movie, again, it's on Amazon, written and directed by Liz Garcia. Stars noted Nepo baby Emma Roberts, along with a very talented supporting cast. We have a young woman named Tiffany Simpson, nicknamed Rex Simpson. She is very much a Florida girl in that she is a hard partying bartender at an outdoor tiki bar. Who also has a bit of a reputation for being a hardcore beach bonfire throwdown person. Also wrestles alligators. Like extremely Florida is what I'm saying here. But she's also a very, very intelligent and thoughtful young woman. When she was growing up, her mom shared with her this dream. They would watch the shuttle launches and stuff. Yep. And it's like, you know what? You're going to be up there someday, kiddo. Tragically, mom passes away. She's left with her dad, who she basically helps rig ghost tours. So she comes up with little inventions to help make the ghost stuff happen. It's very funny. But she sees that a round of applications for the astronaut training program opens up. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to write a letter. And I'm going to be like, I don't have the traditional qualifications, but I'm a dreamer and all these things. So she sends this very sweet but very naive letter to apply. And one of her friends gets her hands on it and she's like, you know what? Nope. And basically fabricates an entire resume, making her an extremely qualified candidate.
Okay.
This is where we learn that perhaps NASA doesn't do the background checks it maybe ought to. Because before you know it, good old Rex is she's in the astronaut training program. And well, Rich, here's the thing. The combination of her natural intellectual gifts and the social skills she developed in her party girl lifestyle, well, it turns out that perhaps she has the right stuff after all.
Wow.
But as you might imagine, eventually, you know, the truth will come out. And what happens after that? Well, I'd say it may surprise you, but Rich, it will not surprise
you
at all. But yeah, it's not a great movie, but it was super fun. You know, like I enjoyed it a great deal more than I thought I would, because again, like, I don't know, you combine, you know, you throw together Legally Blonde and I don't know, the right stuff with a liberal sprinkling of space camp, and you're just like, okay, yeah, I'll watch this.
Sure, I'm in.
And get some laughs, right. You know. And it's very heartfelt, and a very solid lead performance from Emma Roberts, and a lot of just goofy like space and space adjacent shenanigans. You're not gonna, you know, this isn't a movie that's gonna make a whole lot of impact on your life. But again, like, I had a really good time, and I honestly think most people watching it, they're going to have a good time too.
All right. I'm in. I will check it out. That's the word on Space Cadet. How about Fly Me to the Moon?
So Fly Me to the Moon, this is very much more a period piece. It's set in the 60s, during the space race. The Russians have, the Russians are winning. Like, that's basically where we're at. We're in the mid 60s. The Russians are winning, and well, you've got flight director Cole Davis. This is Channing Tatum, who is trying like heck to get his boys ready for the next Apollo mission. Like, they're gonna make the move. They're gonna get out there. They're gonna orbit the moon, and then they're gonna land on the moon. They're gonna do all this stuff. But again, it's tough. And as the 60s progress, like, the initial enthusiasm for the space program begins to wane just a little bit. And so the purse strings start to tighten.
Mm.
And our man Cole isn't sure exactly what he's going to do. He got some great help, his deputy flight director, Henry Smalls, played by Ray Romano, who's very good in this. They're trying very hard to basically spit and bailing wire this program. And so a shadowy fellow from the U.S. government by the name of Mo Burkus, not his real name, as is established very quickly, played by Woody Harrelson, who, I mean, yeah, shadowy government spook. Let's go.
Hello, perfect.
Like, comes by, you know, apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right, as far as that goes. So he's tasked with figuring out how to sort of buoy interest in the program. And so he recruits a young woman by the name of Kelly Jones. That would be Scarlett Johansson's character, who is an ad director, marketing person, making big waves in on Madison Avenue. And he brings her in an effort to promote the program and find ways to get the average American to re-engage. And she does that by incorporating farming out the astronauts and whatnot for advertising. So basically, and so you get like the whole the Omega watches and Tang and stuff like that. All these ad campaigns were created specifically to raise public interest, and that's all well and good, and it's starting to be successful. We meet the Apollo 11 astronauts, you know, Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, Michael Collins. They're really engaged with all of this process. And as you might imagine, Kelly and Cole working closely together, sparks start to fly as they do. But then Mo Burkus comes to Kelly with a different kind of proposition. See, here's the thing. The government has decided, the U.S. government has decided, they cannot lose this race. And so, while they're planning on the mission and everything is on the up and up, they just want to cover their bases. And so, Kelly is tasked with, filming the moon landing.
Oh, I knew it was a fake.
And she recruits her most talented and mercurial commercial director, Lance Vespertino, played magnificently by Jim Rash. He's so good in this movie. He's good every time, but he's so good in this part. So basically, she has to secretly build a moon set in one of the sort of less frequented hangars, and basically build a set and film the moon landing. So they have it, in case.
Oh, okay.
So. Yes. But then, it gets more complicated. There are some there are some twists within twists that I'm not going to go into.
Okay.
But suffice it to say, I feel comfortable revealing that much because it's made very clear in the advertising for the film that is something that is happening. Turns out to be a good deal more complicated than that for any number of reasons that you will see when you watch the film. I had a really good time with this movie. I'm not going to say it's great, but Sheridan and I walked out of there and we're just like, that was like, we're almost like, we're kind of stunned by how much we enjoyed it. Obviously we're rom-com people. So obviously, and I love a good space movie. So it was always going to work for me.
And then throw in Woody Harrelson.
This is what I'm saying. Channing Tatum and Scarlett Johansson were a really great pairing. I'm not necessarily a huge fan of either of them all the time. But for whatever reason, they're different shades. They're different flavors of vanilla created something very, very exciting and enjoyable in this particular case. And again, the supporting cast was really where it was at. I mentioned Romano, Woody Harrelson, Jim Rash again is great. But really, all of the sort of secondary and tertiary characters, this is the kind of movie where you don't necessarily have to invest that much in your supporting cast because you can basically count on your central relationship to do the heavy lifting. But everybody everybody on the periphery did a really good job. And when you have that, I feel like it elevates the proceedings in a way that you aren't necessarily prepared for with what ostensibly is just sort of a basic kind of rom-com. Mm. Screenplay by Rose Gilroy, Greg Berlanti directed. Just solid rom-com work. And here's the thing. I hope people go see this movie simply because I want more of these movies in theaters.
Oh, yeah, me too.
We've talked about this. I am not averse to franchise fare. I love that stuff. Give it to me. The Deadpool Wolverine movie coming in a couple of weeks. I can't even tell you how excited I am for that. But I don't want to live in a box office world where that's all we get.
Yeah.
I would like a little fiber in my diet. I just like a little variety. And stuff like this is sweet, and it's sweet in a different way. I really enjoyed seeing this movie in a movie theater. And I hope it kind of feels like maybe we're turning a bit of a corner in that realm. It could just be that we're still sort of feeling the residual after effects of the 1-2 punch of COVID and the strikes. And we might just, be catching up with stuff.
Right.
But as it stands right now, it's looking better. It's certainly looking less bleak than it felt like this time, like say last year when it was just and again, we had the sort of Oppenheimer Barbie doubleheader, but beyond that, it was very much same old. And so it feels like we're getting a little bit more variety and hopefully that trend will continue.
Good. Well, I'm excited to see both of them.
Yeah, I think you in particular will enjoy both of these movies.
Let's go to space.
Yes, sir.
Alan Adams talking movies here on Pass the Popcorn. Thanks, Al.
My pleasure.
We'll see you next week.
Yes, sir.
Enjoy the rest of your return to the work week.
Yeah, well, being out there in the office like a chump.